The book of Psalms, let's begin there this morning, 128. Psalms 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, and the sides of thine house, or by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. In reflecting and praying about the upcoming year and what would be my heart's desire and what will be God's will for your lives, everything this chapter embodies is what I, as your pastor, desire to see in your life. There's seven great blessings and promises that are spoken of here. And every one of them, again, are the heartbeat of God and my heartbeat for you, His people. And all these promises, all these blessings, all these benefits that I so desire to see in your life come out of fearing God. Blessed is a man that fears the Lord. Blessed are those that know how to relate to God in holy fear. Blessed are those that know how to appropriate and again properly align themselves in their walk with God in His kind of fear. Holy, reverential fear. Notice that to the man or the woman that fears God, verse 2 says, you'll eat the labor of your hands. I pray that every week. I pray for your jobs. I pray for your prosperity. I pray for your families and for you to increase. And so we have a promise from God here. If we'll just fear Him, He will bless the work of our hands. Number two, He says that He'll cause us to be happy. Happy shalt thou be. Man, I want you happy. I want to see you happy. It makes me very happy when you're happy. When you're not happy, I'm still happy because I'm going to stay happy because I can't look to you for my happiness. But it makes me happy to see you happy. I don't want to see you down in the mouth. I don't want to see you depressed. I don't want to see you unhappy. I want to see you happy. So if I can walk before you in the fear of the Lord, if I can teach the fear of the Lord and the Holy Spirit unveil the fear of the Lord to you, you will see happiness in your life. The third thing He says in verse 2 is things will go well for you. You know, things go well for me. They go well for my family. It doesn't mean I don't have problems. I do have problems. It doesn't mean I don't have opposition and affliction and tribulation and things of that nature. I have things coming against me just like you have things coming against you. But you know, things go well for me. I can truly reflect and evaluate my life, and I have to come to the conclusion I'm blessed. I'm blessed of the Lord, and things go well for me. Well, you know what? As your pastor, I want things to go well for you. Then you and I need to fear the Lord. If we fear the Lord, things will go well for us. Verse 3 says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. I want you to be happy with your wife. I was expecting a standing ovation over that. God wants to make your wife a blessing to you. God wants you to be fruitful and your wife to be fruitful, and not only for you to stay married, but happily married. You know, the goal in marriage is not to stay married. For many people, man, they're just praying they make it, that they don't get a divorce, that they stay married. That's not a marriage. That's not God's will, that you just live your whole marriage worried about a divorce, fretful about a divorce, and trying to avoid divorce. God wants you to be fruitful in your marriage. He wants you to be happily married. Well, to those who fear God, if we can get the fear of the Lord working in our hearts and in our lives, then we'll see it in our marriage and the effects of it in our marriage. He goes on in verse 3 to talk about our children being a blessing to us. Man, the Bible says, blessed is a man that has his quiver full. A quiver is about 5 in the Bible. And so, blessed is a man that has his quiver full. Some of you got just one and you quiver. God wants your children to be a blessing to you, and He wants to make you a blessing to your children. If we would fear God, we would see fruitfulness in our children's lives as well. Verse 4 says that the man that fears God again will be blessed. In verse 5, he talks about how we'll be blessed out of Zion, and we'll see the good of Jerusalem all the days of our life. And then in verse 6, he says that us fearing God will even affect our children's children. Me relating to God in holy fear even affects my grandchildren. Some of you haven't experienced the blessing of grandchildren yet. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. And if you'll fear God, you will be affecting your grandchildren, unyet born, by faith. And they can come into a home and a house where there's the fear of God, a family where there's the fear of God, and they will be a blessing to you as well. Again, I couldn't have picked a chapter in the whole Bible that embodies everything I want for you, but chapter 128 of Psalms. And yet, I don't have to preach on all these blessings. I don't have to teach even on all these blessings. If I'll just teach and preach on the fear of the Lord, if we'll get a hold of the fear of the Lord, these promises, these benefits, these blessings will begin to come into our lives. So we're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord and what it means to relate to God in fear. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. The fear of the Lord is not just an Old Testament principle, but it's mentioned in the New Testament as well. And so I want to read a passage to you out of Acts chapter 9 about how the early church feared God. One of the things I believe we're lacking the most in our culture, and we're suffering the consequences, is a fear of God. We not only lack a fear of God in the culture, in most of our churches, we have no idea what it means to fear God, to walk in the fear of the Lord, much less doing it. You can't walk in the light of something you don't even understand. And so we need to know, what does it mean to fear God? Now in Acts chapter 9, Saul has been converted. He's the Apostle Paul. He's preaching now. And Barnabas is affirming Paul to the disciples because they're afraid of Paul. They're not sure his conversion was for real. And they had heard about how he had persecuted the church and afflicted so many believers. They were scared of him. And Barnabas comes along and says, I'm telling you, the man is genuine. I'm telling you, he's saved to the bone. I'm telling you, he's Billy Graham saved. He's got the real deal, and he's preaching the gospel with boldness. He's standing against the culture and the tidal wave of immorality, and he's preaching the name of Jesus with boldness. And so he's trying to encourage these disciples to receive Paul because they're a little skeptical. In verse 29, Barnabas goes on to say, and he, talking about Paul, spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. One of the words I got from the Lord toward the end of this year was multiplication. That we're going to multiply. We're going to increase. And here again, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We have being edified or built up. And we have multiplication in connection with fearing God. The early church walked in the fear of the Lord. Again, I grew up in church and the fear of the Lord was just mentioned in passing. No one ever taught what does the Word of God say about fearing God. The preacher would get all excited and he'd start sniffing and snorting and slinging snot like a Brahma bull. And he'd talk about fearing God. And we need to fear God. And everybody's shouting, hollering. And I'd think, okay, what does that mean to fear God? Because I was walking, I thought, in perfection. Because I thought it meant be afraid of God. And nobody was more scared of God than me in that whole congregation. And none of these blessings were coming upon me. But nobody ever explained what it was. No one ever taught us and showed us from the Word of God. What does it mean to fear God? So that's what I'm going to be doing this morning, is teaching you what is the fear of the Lord. And the way I'm going to do it this morning is teaching you what it's not. Then we'll talk about later what it is. I want you to go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4. God's Word has revealed many benefits in our Christian walk to fearing God and with the fear of the Lord and learning how to relate to God in Bible fear, holy reverential fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says holiness is perfected in the fear of the Lord. Holiness is perfected in the fear of the Lord. I'm believing for more personal holiness in my life. I'm certainly believing for our church to walk in holiness. Holiness is perfected in the fear of the Lord. So see, I don't need to pound on you and your head about holiness. I don't need to be condemning you and preaching at you about holiness. I need to walk in the fear of the Lord. And I need to teach you to walk in the fear of the Lord. And holiness will be perfected in the fear of the Lord. Psalms 25 verse 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenant." God has secrets. And He doesn't tell everything to everybody. And He doesn't show everything to everybody. The Bible teaches that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear God. See, when you fear God, you hear the hidden truths of God that are hidden from the masses. When you fear God, He shows you His covenant. And no one can be intimate with God. No one can know God personally and intimately independent of a revelation of covenant. Covenant is how God relates to us. So the covenant is revealed when we fear God. If you don't fear God, dear ones, these truths that are vital to your life are hidden from you. And so we need to fear God. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding." See, the beginning of wisdom is fearing God. Why is there so much ignorance and lack of sanity in our culture? Why are there so many things that are plumb dumb and stupid that are being said, and dumb and stupid that are being done? We have taken a fear of God out of the culture. And the church has so lacked in a fear of God, we're lacking wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. That's why our children in this generation are struggling so bad. We keep removing God from the culture and a fear of God. We take a fear of God out, they're going to be lacking in wisdom. And it's all around us. And why we can't see it, I don't understand it. We have to have God in the center of our lives. We have to fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Job 28:28, Job said that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. There is no wisdom going to work in your life, dear ones, independent of fearing God. That's why so many Christians struggle with a lack of wisdom. They're making bad decisions that are leading to bad results and consequences in their lives. And you look at them sometimes and you go, "What were you thinking? Why did you do that? Where was your head?" That's such a lack of wisdom. Well, they can't have wisdom. They can be born again. They can become children of God. But if they don't learn to fear God, they won't have wisdom working in their lives. I need wisdom to pastor this church. I need wisdom to fulfill the will of God. Then I better fear God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the scriptures say, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and froward tongue I hate." Proverbs 3:7 says that, "Be not wise in our own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Did you know there's some things you're supposed to hate? Amen. This particular generation doesn't understand that. We are so void of understanding. We don't know that there's some things God hates. And we're supposed to be like God. God's life is supposed to be worked on the inside of us. And there's some things you're supposed to hate. You won't hate with a righteous hatred independent of the fear of God. And by removing the fear of God from the church, we've got a church today at large that doesn't have the wisdom to discern what evil is. They are confused on what good is and evil is. Certainly in the culture, they're confused. In the culture, there's a dyslexic spirit on this whole generation. They call what's good evil and evil good. The only thing left in the culture in the world that's evil is me. I'm evil because I preach righteousness. I'm evil because I say homosexuality is an abomination. I say fornication is wrong. I say quit shacking up and get married. And I'm evil because I say that. Well, a license don't mean anything, Brother Duane. Then get one. If it don't mean anything anyway, it doesn't really matter. Just run down there and get one. I'll marry you in my office right now. You know it means something, you whoremonger and you adulterers and you liars and you thieves and covetous generation. We know it's wrong. And yet we call evil good and good evil. We can't discern good and evil. Why can't we discern good and evil? It's a lack of wisdom. Why don't we have the wisdom? No fear of God. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Some things are to be hated. I'm telling you, Islamofascism is evil. I'm telling you, these people are evil. I'm not talking about the whole Arab world like I've been accused already of. I'm not Arab bashing. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. I'm telling you, a religion has been hijacked by some evil people, and they mean us harm. They are evil. And we're scared to even say it, much less believe it. We don't have a hatred for something that preaches in the name of God, killing people, innocent people. They will kill you in the name of God, thinking they do God a service. They'll strap a bomb on their innocent children. And the Bible forbids God's people to send their children through the fire of Moloch. You talk about the fire of Moloch, a bomb blowing up. And you strap it on your kid, and you send your child into a civilian area where there's innocent women and innocent children, and blow everybody up. That's not a little misguided, saints. That's not missing the mark a little bit. That is evil. That has to be hated. That has to be stood up to. That has to be stood up to firmly. And I'm even going to share with you as we go through this how that the Jesus that is in most of our churches is not the Jesus of the Bible. I'm telling you, a lot of people think Jesus is just this meek, mealy mouth, pansy waist, spaghetti spine person that just walked around and was kind and nice, didn't upset anybody, didn't say anything to upset the apple cart. Man, this same Jesus that was merciful to an adulterous woman, this same Jesus that the children flogged and he loved, and he was a man of velvet, he was also a man of steel, and he made a whip, and he ran religious people out of the temple, beating them, whipping them, and he was angry, and he was mad. We serve a righteous, holy God, and there's some things he hates. And if he gets in you and you get in him, you're going to hate what he hates. You're going to love what he loves. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we are not to let our love be with hypocrisy. We are to cleave to that which is good, abhor that which is evil. The reason we're in the mess we're in and an entire generation may be lost is we don't know the love of God and we don't fear God anymore. There should be the fear of the Lord that's working in our hearts as his people and in our lives. And like the early church, we ought to be walking in that fear, walking in that true Bible fear, the fear of the Lord. And in that we will, by the nature of God, hate that which is evil. We'll discern by wisdom that which is evil. And yet, man, the lack of understanding even among God's people is overwhelming sometimes. And it's our fault as the preachers primarily for not teaching the Word of God, for not preaching the truth in love. Well, I don't want to stand under that judgment even that I'm making right now. I want to make sure I teach the truth, preach the Word of God in love, and have a company of people at least somewhere on the planet that fear God Almighty. Amen. We need to fear God Almighty. All right, to understand biblically the fear of the Lord, we have to get rid of what it's not. It's not, number one, a tormenting fear. It's not a demonic fear. It's not being scared of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 7, verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. There is a demonic kind of fear that we're not to operate in, and that fear has torment. And God doesn't want you fearing with torment. Watch this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Notice that God's love, perfect love, casts out fear. If you have any fear, it is because you don't know by revelation God's unconditional, unmerited, limitless love for you. As you come to know God's love for you, as his people, as you believe and receive God's love, it casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Now, God wouldn't be casting out fear and commanding you to fear if there weren't different kinds of fear. That's contradictory. And God's not contradictory. He's not commanded you to fear Him, then reveal His love and cast that fear out. There's different kinds of fear. The kind of fear that you're not to operate in is what the church operates in at large. A demonic fear. I'm scared. I'm tormented. All fear has torment to it, and God's love will cast it out of your life. God doesn't want me tormented. God doesn't want me being afraid of storms. He doesn't want me being afraid of an elevator and getting in an elevator and having a phobia about that. He doesn't want me to be afraid about the things that are coming upon the earth. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus said that men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things coming upon the earth. God doesn't want me walking in and operating in a tormenting type fear over terrorism. I really believe in my heart that there's no hope for this country probably until a nuke is dropped. Once the mushroom cloud is here, everybody will change their politics. They'll change their attitudes real quick and wake up. I'm simply sending alarm. Let's don't wait for a nuke to be dropped. Let's wake up right now and fear God. Let's get right with God and do the right thing before it's too late. Now, I have to be careful. I have to be careful in those statements not to put fear in the little children. I don't want your children fearing for the things that are coming upon the earth. But it has to be said so that we can trust God, believe God, and do the right thing. Do the right thing. God doesn't want us fearing terrorism. He doesn't want us living like that and walking around with that kind of fear. He doesn't want you fearing the things that are coming upon the earth. The earthquakes, the famines, all those kind of things. All that has torment. And God didn't make you and fashion you and design you for fear. Your body can't handle fear. Your heart will fail you for fear of the things coming upon the earth. That's why I don't watch the news except when I just have to. I don't read the newspapers until I have to. I don't want to feed on that stuff and get fear and depression and all this negativity in my heart. Because my body wasn't designed to carry that around. I was designed to believe God, to have faith, to trust God, and to do the right thing in the kingdom of God. So we don't want to operate in a tormenting fear. Go to Psalms 27, and the solemnness here deals with fear and how God doesn't will for you to fear with a tormenting fear, a demonic fear, an unholy fear. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Amen. We're not to fear man nor beast. We're not to be afraid. We're not to let fear get in our heart. So there must be different kinds of fear, because God wouldn't command me to fear Him and then say, don't fear. All through the Old Testament, especially when Jesus in His pre-incarnate condition manifested to men and women and brought a promise from God, He would always say, fear not. That's the first thing He would say, fear not. Do not be afraid. When an angel manifested all through the Bible, the angel would bring a word from God and the angel would say, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Why did Jesus in His pre-incarnate condition and angels always say, fear not, before they gave a promise? Because you have to mix faith with the promises of God for them to manifest in your life. And faith and fear cancel one another out. Fear negates faith in our lives. God doesn't will for you to operate in fear. He doesn't will for you to walk in tormenting, demonic fear. That right there will destroy you. It will negate the promises and blessings of God. So the angels would always say before they made a promise, don't fear, do not be afraid. That's my word for you today as well, is that God has multiple promises for you and I, blessings for you and I, but they're always conditional in the sense of do not be afraid. Do not fear. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. The Lord is the strength of your life and the salvation of your life. Don't fear man nor beast. It'll destroy you. it'll ruin you. So the first thing we know it's not is a tormenting fear or a demonic kind of fear. Go to Isaiah 41. And this was a word that a lady gave me years ago. And I've marked it in every Bible. Every time I wear a Bible out, I have to mark some of my places in my new Bible. And I've always marked this passage, one of the first ones when I change Bibles even, because it's a word that really got me through a difficult time. We all go through challenging times. We all go through times of a fear of not making it or succeeding or overcoming. And in many times we can collapse in that kind of fear. And so I was going through a struggle and wavering and wondering, do I really want to do this? Do I need these hassles and all these problems? And was wanting to quit. And this was a word a lady gave me. She gave it to me out of the Amplified Bible. I'll read it to you out of the Amplified Bible in a minute. But let's look at King James Bible here. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's pretty powerful. Amen. Well, the Amplified Bible amplifies it. It's not called the Amplified Bible because it's louder. It's the Amplified Bible because it amplifies the verse with more words. I affectionately call it the Ladies' Bible because it has more words. Oh, come on, let it go. Listen at the Ladies' Bible. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you to difficulties. I will strengthen you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Amen. Man, that's pretty powerful. We all need strengthened to difficulties. Life is tough. Things happen. We go through things, all of us. And you have to be strengthened in order to obey God. You have to be comforted in order to obey God. You know, when you step out and you start to serve God and you start to make an impact, especially, all of hell at times can break loose against you. And if you don't know how to fear God, here's what happens to you. You wind up hardening your heart in difficulties, and it makes you ineffective in helping people. Now, listen to me carefully. We all know of good preachers that started off very kind, meek and gentle and loving with the people. And they sort of begin to evolve. And they become bitter. And they become hard. And in some cases even mean. What happened in that kind of a scenario? Well, usually what that is the preacher starts off with a good heart, kind, loving to the people. And people turn on him. And they attack him. Remember, Jesus had a camp of 12 and he had a Judas in his camp. For every 12 people, we probably have a Judas. We run about 3,000 people. You do the math. Not everybody thinks I hung the moon. Not everybody's going, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're going, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And that stuff can wear on you. It can wear you down. It can hurt. It can hurt. And what I was in when I got this word was, I was wanting to quit so bad because if I don't do something, I can't handle all this pain. I can't handle all this rejection. I can't handle these attacks. It's not worth it. And this word is where God showed me that if I will fear Him and Him only, He'll harden my heart to difficulties and soften it to people. Jesus is the only man that was a perfect balance of gentleness and meekness and firmness. He was a man of velvet, but a man of steel. How was Jesus so gentle and kind and children even loved him? One of the things I know when I'm tracking true and I'm close to God is when the children hug on me and the children love on me. Because see, children can spot a hypocrite a mile away. Children sense things that adults don't sense. They know the presence of God and don't even know what it is when you and I have become so hard and calloused. We're not sure this is God or God's here. The kids sense the presence of God. And so Jesus was thronged by these kids. Why? He was a great guy. He was kind. He was gentle. He's at a well ministering to a woman shacking up. A woman living in fornication. And he loved her, but he cut her no slack in telling her the truth and that she needed to get right. Yet this same meek and gentle Jesus, again, made a cat of nine tails and ran. The money changers beat them with that whip that was made out of stones and glass on the end. So when it hit you, it ripped your skin. That same Jesus who was meek and gentle and kind looked religion right in the face and said, "You are snakes. You are vipers. You are tombstones whitewashed full of dead men's bones. It'll be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you people." Man, that's not the Jesus that a lot of preachers preach and the Jesus a lot of churches know. I'm telling you, Jesus is the lion and the lamb in one. And the prophet said that in the last days when the kingdom is manifest, the kingdom is here now. It's in our hearts. But one day it's going to spring into the natural realm. It's going to be manifested where all can see and understand it. That kingdom, he said, the lion and the lamb will lie down together in the kingdom. Well, see, the kingdom's in me. It's in my heart. So Jesus the lion lives in me, but Jesus the lamb lives in me. And see, Jesus the lamb comes out of me toward hurting people. And Jesus the lamb comes out of me toward suffering people. And Jesus the lamb comes out of me toward people bound by sin and hurting. And I want the lamb to come out of me most of the time. But guess what? The Bible says that the lion will roar out of Zion. Zion is the church. There's times the Jesus that comes out of me is not a lamb. He's a lion and he's roaring. I remember when I did the series on homosexuality. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I mean, I startled half of you. Those that have been with me for nearly 20 years, they freaked out on me. It's like, what happened to our pastor? Aliens have kidnapped our pastor. They couldn't believe the fire I was breathing. They couldn't believe how hard I came out of the chute when I started that series. What they didn't understand is I wasn't talking to you and I wasn't talking to people bound in homosexuality. I was talking to the culture. I was talking to the mass media that is deceived and confused. I was talking to a world that believes this is an acceptable lifestyle or alternative sexual orientation. And I made no bones about it. The lion was roaring. This is wrong. And don't you be mistaken and don't you be deceived. I'm not here to condemn you or beat you down, but don't buy a lie and yield to this thing thinking it's acceptable with God. It's an abomination. I mean, I was roaring. Then if you listen to the tapes, the next week, a little bit of lion, a little bit of lamb. By the third week, it was all lamb. By the fourth week, we all roasted the lamb and ate all of it. It was good. It was gentle. It was loving. I got no axe to grind with a homosexual or a lesbian. Any more than I got an axe to grind with those of you that are fornicating and taking drugs and running around and committing adultery. I don't have any ought toward you personally, but I hate divorce. I don't hate divorcees, but I hate divorce because I know what it does to your family. I know what it does to your unyet born grandchildren. God hates divorce. Doesn't hate divorcees. I don't hate divorcees. God hates homosexuality. I don't hate homosexuals. I love them enough to tell them the truth when nobody else is telling them the truth. You see the difference? There's a point where we have to understand the Jesus of the Bible was a lion and a lamb. And we have to understand that there is a fear of God that's not a tormenting fear. And we need to walk under that fear. And we need delivered from all these other kinds of fears and phobias. God is with us. He says, do not be afraid. All right, go to Isaiah 29, just back up, and let's look at the second thing. It's not. We're looking at what the fear of the Lord is not. Then we'll look at what it is. Isaiah chapter 29. Number one, it is not a tormenting fear. It's not being afraid of God or scared of God. God wants to show you His love and cast out all tormenting fear in your life. Number two, it's not a religious fear. Many of us have been taught a fear that is not the fear of the Lord, and we came by that fear honest. We were taught in church the wrong kind of fear, a religious fear. Many people do not serve God out of love. They don't serve God out of a revelation of the cross. They don't serve God out of, I just love God, and He gave His life for me, and I'm giving mine now for Him. They serve God out of guilt, out of condemnation, out of a fear of righteous retribution. And many of us have been taught things that are not correct about God and about His kingdom. There's a lot of confusion still in the church over Old Testament law versus New Testament grace. There's a lot of churches and entire denominations who really don't believe there was a cross. There was a Son put on that cross who bore your sins and bore God's wrath for your sins. Bore the curse of the law. Under the Old Testament law, God punished men's sins. God poured His wrath out on sin so we wouldn't be confused for thousands of years. But that's what the good news is of the gospel, is Jesus came and God poured His wrath out on Jesus for you. He condemned your sin in the flesh of Jesus that you might be made the righteousness of God through faith in Him now. Jesus didn't just bear your sins, dear ones. He bore your judgment. He bore God's wrath, your punishment. God will not punish you for sin. He'll chasten you. He'll discipline you. You're His child. He'll whip you, but it'll be in love, not wrath, not anger, not punishment. And yet I grew up in church and I was told so many things, saints. I trusted the preacher. I should have read the Bible. I wasn't smart enough to do that, but I trusted the preacher. And he said things like, if you don't tithe, God's going to take it out in doctor bills. If you don't serve God and you don't live for God, He'll knock you flat of your back where you got nowhere to look but up. See, some of you think I make this stuff up. Y'all need to visit some other churches. I was literally taught things like, don't you go into that bar. If you go into that bar, Jesus is liable to come back and you'll miss the rapture. If that was true, half our church would be gone today if the Lord would have come back last night. You don't need to be going in a bar, and I need to preach and teach that that's not a lifestyle that's conducive to holiness and pleasing to the Lord. But it's a lie to tell you, if you go into that bar and Jesus comes back, you won't go in the rapture. What is that? It's condemning people. It's trying to bring about behavioral modification through fear. A fear of rejection. God won't love you if you do that again. That's not true. It doesn't matter what you do or you don't do. God loves you and His love is unconditional. It's unmeasurable. It's unmerited. He loves you no matter what you do. What you do or don't do affects your love for God, not God's love for you. I was told, boy, if you don't come to church, God won't love you. That's not true. That's a fear. It's manipulation. It's trying to get the attendance up through fear. And a fear of God's rejection. God will never reject you, dear ones. You aren't loved anymore by God because you came to church today. Had you slept in, God would still love you the same and as much. You know what's affected, though, by you coming to church? Your love for God. Not God's love for you. You've come and you're going to hear a good word. And faith's going to come. And you're going to get closer to God. God loves you unconditionally. And it's wrong to tell people that God won't love you if you don't do this and you don't do this. It's fear. It's manipulation. It's torment. It's guilt. It's condemnation. The good news is that Jesus came to get all that guilt off of you, to get all that condemnation off of you, so you can serve God from your heart now with joy, not out of pain or fear. It's religious fear. One of the things I did, I'm as embarrassed to admit this. I don't think I've ever admitted this publicly. But as a teenager, our church sponsored a haunted house on Halloween. And I dressed up as a ghost. And I scared little kids. But of course, we passed out tracts at the end. Some of them got saved. Yeah, right. They were so scared, they weren't wanting to go to heaven. They were scared of hell. And me, the ghost. That's just crazy. And yet, we are so far from God. I'll have people email me over that. Upset that I can't believe he said that. After all, people did get saved. Let me tell you something that's very important to your life. In the kingdom of God, in the church, the end never justifies the means. That might work in the world. That may work in your businesses. And you may get away with that in the world and in your businesses. But that should never happen in the church. We can't use ungodly methods, means, to get to a godly end. God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with us scaring children. He wasn't pleased with me doing that. Amen. Now, just for the religious people, none of them are here. They're watching or they're listening by tape. And so just to cause the fumes to subside a little bit, I'll give you this. It is better to serve a holy, righteous God out of fear and go to heaven than serve a devil in peace and go to hell. I'll say that. But saints, we're talking about the lowest rung on the ladder of the kingdom, serving God out of fear. God didn't ordain for us to use fear and scare people and fear tactics to get people to witness. Boy, if you don't witness to your neighbor and they die, their blood is on your hands. I was taught that. So now you're out witnessing, not because you love people. You're out witnessing because you're scared when you get to heaven, there's going to be blood on your hands. And everybody in heaven's going to see and look at you. And then I'm going to be upset and I'm going to tell Jesus, you didn't come to my church. So you're going to knock on doors. Jehovah Witnesses knock on doors. And it ain't out of love for God. It ain't out of love for people. It ain't out of love for the truth. They were told, you can't go and get into the kingdom unless you do this. So they are doing it for selfish reasons, for selfish gain. It's not pleasing to God. It's not right. And I'm not putting them down as a group. We've been just as guilty trying to use fear tactics to get people to come to church, fear tactics to get you to give, fear tactics to get you to witness. God forbid, and may He be merciful on my soul, if I have innocently even used fear in any way to motivate you. It was unintentional. I pray for mercy and forgiveness. And I also pray I never use fear, even unintentionally, to motivate anybody to serve the true and the living God. You serve Him because He loves you and you love Him. Amen. Now, this religious fear is taught. Look at Isaiah 29, verse 13. Isaiah 29, 13. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Did you see that? They have a fear, but it's not producing the blessing of the fear of the Lord. He says, their fear of me is taught by men. And because their fear of me is taught by men, they say the right things, they come to church, they sing the right things and say the right things, but their heart is far from God. See, if you are taught religious fear, you won't be intimate with God. You'll be afraid of Him. And we're counteracting our message many times. We're contradicting ourselves as preachers many times. We're saying, get close to God, be intimate with God. Then we turn around and tell people he'll put cancer on you if you don't do exactly what He tells you to do, or He'll kill your kids, or He'll blow the roof off your house. Judgment. You can't get close to a guy that you think might turn on you at any minute. All right, praise God. I'm sorry, that was just common sense in the kingdom. I can't be teaching, get close to God, then tell you He'll knock you flat of your back if you don't do everything just perfect. God's love will cast religious fear out because it has torment. Yeah, I don't care if I don't reach another person the rest of my life. I feel so blessed. You wouldn't believe the hundreds of thousands of testimonies and lives that this ministry has touched. And people weeping, literally weeping, saying, thank you for your messages. Thank you. My whole life has been changed. I really do love God. I'm not tormented anymore. I don't live under this guilt, condemnation, my clothes, my hair, makeup. I mean, I could go on all morning and get everybody on the planet madder than a hornet. And it's all religious fear. God could care less about your hairdos. God could care less if you wear makeup or you don't wear makeup. He could care less if you're in a pantsuit or a dress. He just doesn't want you cross-dressing. That's what He was talking about. I just wish I could go to that stuff and teach it like it's really in the Bible. We got entire denominations hung up on women wearing pants, and it wasn't even talking about women wearing pants. It's talking about women wearing men's clothes because something's getting in their heart that ain't right, and men wearing women's clothes because something's getting in their heart that isn't right. That's a perversion. That's what it's talking about. Not all this religious bondage that so many are caught up in. How you doing, Bruce? I love you, man. God loves you for being in church today, brother. It's good to see you. You came to the right church today. Bruce is a good friend, or used to be a good friend. I just looked up and saw you. That's cool. Bruce goes to the Atoka church now and helps them out, and I've missed him, and I just love him. It's good to see you. Are we still friends? Do you know, if you need jewelry, This man has a jewelry store right here in Durant. It's the finest jewelry on it. You need to get up from that seat of do nothing right now and get down to the jewelry store at Bruce's and buy everything he's got. It's anointed. Hallelujah.
Now we're friends again. Hallelujah.
We don't need a tormenting fear that's demonic. We need to cast that out. And we don't need a religious fear, the love of God. Cast that out. Go to Luke chapter 1 and I'll close. We need to fear God, but it has to be the proper kind of fear. God wouldn't contradict himself and say, fear me, and then say, don't fear, if there weren't different kinds of fear. You know, one of the greatest fears that even us preachers labor under is a fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. It's a snare. Peer pressure is the fear of man. And see, peer pressure won't work. There's no such thing as positive peer pressure. Because see, when you use peer pressure, which is a fear of rejection, people will conform. They'll modify their behavior as long as they're in the peer group. But as soon as you remove the peer group, because the heart hadn't been touched and the heart hadn't been changed, these people will catapult off into sin every time. And we talk about the peer pressure children are under and young people. But what about adults? What about us preachers? I can't tell you how many men I've been in their office with them crying, saying, Brother Dwayne, I cannot preach that. If I preach that, my denomination will reject me. If I preach that, I believe that, I've experienced that, but if I say that, I'll get booted out. See, you weren't created for rejection, did you know it? All of us want acceptance. We were created for fellowship with God, fellowship with each other, to love. And so one of the greatest pains you'll experience in life is the rejection of your peers. Preachers labor under that, a fear of what you think, a fear if you're going to come back, a fear if you're going to like me or dislike me. See, only the fear of God will deliver you from the fear of man. The reason so many of you are bound by the fear of man, you can't do what's right because somebody's going to mock you. You can't say what's right because people are going to think you're a bad person. They're going to persecute you and revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. Why can't you just do what's right? Why can't you just say what's right? Because you have a fear in your heart of being rejected by your friends. There's only one thing will get rid of that. It's the fear of God. When you start fearing God, wow, you're delivered from the fear of man. I want everybody, amen. Amen. I wish everybody would embrace me in our church. I wish everybody would hug me and just love me. But you know, I'm not here for you to hug me and love me and like me. I'm here to pastor you. I'm here to love you whether you love me back or not. And love speaks the truth. Love endeavors to live the truth as best as I can and get better every day. Improve every day because I'm growing just like you're growing. But a lot of preachers can't do that because they fear rejection so bad. I've listened to them. I've been around them. Such peer pressure. Thank God for the fear of God. Now, I'm going to start here next week. Verse 67 is where this prophecy of Zechariah starts. And he's prophesying of the new covenant. He's prophesying of what Jesus would do in our lives. But I want to read two passages to close. Verse 74 says in Luke chapter 1, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. What a passage. God's will is that we serve him without fear in holiness. Every time holiness was brought up in my upbringing, every time holiness was preached, fear was used to get us to live holy. Fear was preached to get us to live holy. The Bible says Jesus came so we could serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Well, see, there's one kind of fear you're not to have, another kind of fear you are to have. God wants you to serve him without tormenting fear and without religious fear and without a fear of man. Because if God be for you, dear ones, who can really be against you? Yeah, people will be against you. I've had my very life threatened multiple times just for the gospel's sake. So people will be against you. But the revelation is, if God goes for you and you love him and you fear him above all things, then he'll deliver you from the fear of man. He'll deliver you from any demonic fear, and he'll certainly quickly deliver you from religious fear. He's your father. He doesn't want you tormented. He doesn't want you scared of him, like he's going to slap you down or take something from you. He wants you to fear him with reverential fear. And I'll teach you that right out of the Word of God as we go into this. Man, I thank God for the fear of the Lord in my life. And I want to walk in it like the early church did more and more. I want to live it before you. I want to walk it out before you. I want to see some of you really start fearing God and walking in the fear of the Lord. This thing will catch. This thing will begin to work in our church. And Psalms 128 verse 1 says, blessed is the man. Not afraid is the man. Not tormented is the man. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And then all these blessings start coming upon him. We can see the blessings of the Lord just overtake us this year as we fear God with the right kind of fear and believe God to get rid of the wrong kind of fear. Amen? Amen. Amen. Were you blessed?